Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 6. We're in the prologue of the Gospel of John, or if you prefer, the introduction of the book, where the apostle introduces us to different concepts that he will unpack for us as the book unfolds. In verse 6, we read this: "There came a man sent from God whose name was John." So we have one John introducing us to another John. John the Apostle introducing us to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and his coming as the messenger of Messiah was prophesied back in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in the book of Malachi. He was prophesied. John the Baptist had the incredible privilege of announcing the arrival of Messiah, and this is exactly what he did. We read in verse 7, "He came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him." The Greek words for witness or to bear witness are words that give us our English word martyr. This is a theme that the apostle will develop in the book of John, the theme of being a witness about Christ, to testify about Christ. In chapter 1, John the Baptist will testify about Christ. Chapter 4, the Samaritan woman will bear witness about Christ. Chapter 5, the scriptures will bear witness about Christ. Chapter 8, the Father will testify about Christ. Chapter 12, the people who saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead will testify about Christ. Chapter 15, the Spirit will testify about Christ. And throughout the book of John, Jesus himself, through his words and his works, will testify about himself. But what's interesting to me is that these words witness or to testify, these are words that are used in a court where justice is dispensed. These are courtroom words. Sometimes we think that the Bible is just this book about love and mercy and compassion. And make no mistake, it is a book of the love and mercy and compassion of God and grace of God. It is that. But make no mistake, it's also a book about judgment. And the book of John, although it is the gospel of John, the good news of John, that John gives us about our access to God through Christ Jesus by trusting in him, which is incredible good news, which reveals the love of God, the eternal love of God, the book of John also reveals the judgment of God. And this is why we see these courtroom terms. Now, God wants none to fall under judgment. That's why verse 7 says, "so that all might believe through him." You see, Jesus desires for all to be saved, for none to be lost. That doesn't mean that everyone is saved. It means that everyone is savable. Jesus has paid for the sins of the world so that anyone and everyone can believe. Now, the sad reality is that the vast majority reject Christ, but that is not his desire. His desire is that all would come to believe in him. That's what verse 7 says, so that all might believe. This is another theme that John introduces us to at the beginning of the Gospel of John. The word believe, he uses it 98 times in the book. One writer described the fourth gospel as the gospel of belief. I think that's a great description. I mean, this is why he wrote the book after all, right? The apostle says at the end of the book in John 20, verse 31, "These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now, I need to be careful when I use the word belief, because sometimes we use that word believe differently, right? I mean, someone says, "He believes in God." And we think, well, that's noble. That's enough. Well, no, it's not. Just because someone believes in God, that is not enough. The apostle is not using the term believe in the sense of, oh, I think God exists. I think Jesus was a man who walked in the land of Israel in the first century. That's not enough to believe in the existence of God, to believe that Jesus existed. No, we must trust. That is how the apostle is using the term believe, to trust. We must trust in God. And what does the apostle say? That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. We must trust that Jesus is the Messiah, is the Savior, is the one who gives us access to God. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That doesn't mean that Jesus is the offspring of God. That means that Jesus is of the same order as God, is on par with God. You see, Jesus is the God-man. We must trust that he is fully God, fully man. He is the one who died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried and was raised on the third day. He sits at the right hand of the majesty on high as a man in the third heaven today, with flesh and with bones, with a body that is fit for eternity. And make no mistake, he's coming back. This is who we believe in. This is who we trust in other words. By trusting in Christ, the one who is the God-man, the one who paid for our sins, the one who has been resurrected, by trusting in him, we have life in his name. This is the concept of belief that the apostle will unpack for us in the Gospel of John. Then we read in verse 8, he was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. As great as John the Baptist was, he, of course, was not the Messiah. And John the Baptist would be the first to say that. In fact, he's very clear in the Gospel of John. John the Baptist says, I am not the Christ. He must increase and I must decrease. A very important verse for all of us to remember. We must always shine the light on Christ. He gets all the glory, all the praise, not us. All the glory goes to him. Verse 9 reads like this. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Christ enlightens every man in a couple of ways. One is through creation. Christ, we've already learned in the Gospel of John so far in our study, is the agent of creation. He's the member of the Trinity who created. And so creation evidences, it reveals God. When you look up at the sky and you see the stars, sometimes that's hard to do in the big city. And, you know, sometimes you look up and you think it's a star and it's really a satellite, or it's a star that's moving or that's flashing. In other words, it's not a star at all. It's an airplane that's going across the sky. Sometimes you have to get out of the city to see the stars, but whether you're looking at the stars or you're looking at a majestic oak tree or a beautiful bird, when you're looking at creation, you see revelation about God. And so that is one way in which we are enlightened. But I think the apostle is really talking about something more specific than that. He's talking about the enlightenment that comes to us because the light stepped out of eternity and into time and space. The light became a man and dwelt among human beings. And so everyone has to respond to the light one way or the other. You see, the word of God, whether it's the written word or it's the living word, always forces a decision. That is how powerful the word of God is. Some, in response to the light, recognize their sin, recognize their darkness. And they recognize their sin, and so they see the need for a solution through the Savior. Others, in response to the light, run from it because they don't want to acknowledge their sin and they prefer the darkness over the light. For some, the light yields deliverance. and for others the light yields judgment. In John 3:18, the Lord said this, "He who believes in him, in the Son, is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The light enlightens every man and forces a decision from every man. Now notice in verse 9 that the apostle says that the light comes into the world. This is a very important word that we get introduced to here at the beginning of the Gospel of John, and then we see the apostle develop that word throughout the Gospel, throughout the book of John. What he's saying here is that the light came from heaven into the planet as a man. He came to the world. The light came to the planet to participate in the realm of human affairs. That's another way that the book of John will use the word world. Sometimes the book of John uses the word world to mean the globe. Sometimes it uses it to mean the realm of human affairs as opposed to the realm of heaven. So the light came into the sphere of humanity and ate and drank and slept and wept and suffered and died as a human. The light enlightened rebellious, sinful humanity. This is another way that the Gospel of John will use the term world. It'll use it to describe the globe, to describe the realm of human affairs, and to describe rebellious, sinful humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's a reference to the world being used to describe human beings who were sinful. And you also see the term world being used to describe the devil's world system. The light came into the world system that is dominated by the devil's darkness. It's this beautiful picture of the light coming to save the lost. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. This is a great indictment for sinful humanity. The world did not know him. That's not a reference to the planet. That's not a reference to the sphere of human affairs. That's a reference to sinful, rebellious human beings who can know or who can refuse to know. Know here is this idea of receiving. And so the fact that the world did not know the light is actually a horrible indictment against a sinful world. You see, rejection of Christ is a moral decision. This is about moral corruption, the moral corruption of humanity. Humanity who rejects their Creator, who rejects the Creator who made the world, who made the universe, John says in verse 10. The Creator who came and dwelt among us, who loved us so much to humble himself, to come as a man, to save us from our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins. But the world, by and large, not every human being, but the vast majority of human beings reject him. And so that is a product of moral corruption, and moral corruption always produces absurd behavior. The moral corruption, the moral decision of rejecting Christ, there you see humanity preferring darkness over light, preferring sin over salvation, and preferring judgment over joy. It is a sad, sad statement that the world did not know him. We need to come to Christ. Christ is the one who gives us the light and the life, eternal life, if we will trust in him. So let's thank the Father for this incredible truth. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We praise you that you sent your Son to pay the penalty that was due us, death. We praise you that you sent him and that he died for our sins willingly because of his love for us, because of your love for us. We praise you that you have revealed him to us, and we approach you in wonder and awe. We pray these things in the name of His Majesty, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.